You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. If you gamble, use your game sense. Visit GameSenseAB.ca to find out more.
Shauger, it was a back-to-back. They don't have much time to lick their wounds because it's been a season-long wound right now. Their penalty kill's been terrible all year long, and last night was just the exclamation point on what's been a tough season so far for the penalty killers.
Yeah, and it's kind of, you know, it can suck the life out of you. Like, it's just kind of a here-we-go-again mentality where you take a penalty and it's just, you just groan and hop over the boards and just feel like you're not sure what's going to happen, right? Like, listening to Draisaitl talk post-game, you know, not sure when we're supposed to pressure, not sure when we're supposed to, like, just a lot of uncertainty and, you know, really kind of exasperated, frustrated comments from him. So, yeah, this is not a good trait, man, and this one can get away from you if you're not careful. So they got to get their arms around this. Jay Woodcroft has got to do some coaching through this. He's got to coach up his team here and figure it out. You know, special teams is one of those ones that, you know, when you have it, you're thrilled you have it. When you don't, it feels like the sky is falling. And for the Oilers right now, the penalty kill sky is falling. It's falling.
Yeah, it's fallen. It's like a broken arrow here. And when I hear those comments that they're not sure what to do, like, to me, this is not assigning blame, but you dumb it down to the most basic elements you need. What is something we can, like, you know, grab onto? What can we really do? So what is an issue we're having? Because the one I'm seeing is that high tip continually. Don't shoot it at the D, man. They're shooting it just past it, and then guys are tipping in front. And, like, this past game, I think it was Strome was the first power play goal. CC was on the far side of the two Washington players. I'm not sure who could have tipped it. They both could have tipped it, right? And I'm not blaming CC, but they don't know where they're supposed to, or I shouldn't say that. It looks like they're not organized, right? And that is, like, take away the guy in front of the net. Yeah, the back door is there, but the back door is not killing right now. Right now, they're killing you right in front of the net. So I think they've got to really simplify it, Shauger, and just sit down and say, guys, let's just focus on these two or three things tonight to try to slow this down. Because it can't get worse. Like, you can't give up more than, while they're averaging, what is it, almost 1.5 goals against a game on the PK? That is pretty impressive total.
Yeah, it's brutal. And like I say, it just has you feeling like you're playing from behind every night when, you know, when you're going to give up something on the penalty kill. So, yeah, whether it's structure, you know, like I think it can be a little bit confusing up top when they move east-west with the way they have the guys kind of in a line there. And you got to, there's like sort of that hinge up top, and guys got to be really aware and really make sure they don't end up a step behind. Make sure you don't get seamed. But it's, yeah, I mean, like, what are the core tenets of penalty killing, right? What are the core skills that you need to be a good penalty killer? Like, you need to be brave. You need to be willing to step in front of shots and block them, right? You need to be hardworking and be ready to win one-on-one battles. And you got to be aware of what's going on around you. And, you know, two of those three are effort level requirements. So I don't know that this is about changing personnel or some big significant change strategy-wise, or if it's meat and potatoes. We'll see, but it needs to get better because you're not going anywhere giving up this number of power play goals against per game.
Yeah, or taking that many power plays. It could start there.
Like, well, they're taking that many penalties. Hey, Greg?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, they're way too many. Way too many. And way too many penalties. Yamamoto's penalty can't happen when you're already down a man. It just can't happen. Right?
Agreed.
Ryan Murray's penalty is one that they shouldn't take, right? The Fogel giveaway is or whatever, mishandle the puck, whatever you want to call it.
Bouchard. Like, oh, my
yeah,
goodness.
Bouchard.
The dagger
yeah,
penalty there.
Yeah. Like, they had three really bad penalties last night.
And we've seen it, right? Like, we saw it in exhibition. Discipline seemed to be a bit of an issue, and they've been able to kind of outscore it for the most part, but now it's catching up with them. And yeah, no, the overall discipline level, and just, like, you know, you're not allowed to have your stick parallel in a guy's gut. You know, you can't do that. You got to keep the stick out of the hands. And I get it. It's split-second things that happen fast out there, but that's what you pay to do. And then it's bit players, too. It's guys that aren't contributing offensively that are killing you with some of the penalties that they're taking. You know, and so it's yeah, they're getting hurt by it. I mean, if Connor McDavid takes the odd bad penalty, or Draisaitl because he's defending himself, or Nurse, I mean, you know, guys that are getting it done on the other end, then you go and kill those. But, like, you know, Yamamoto and Fogel, or, I mean, Bouchard, who doesn't have a goal yet. Like, these are costly penalties from guys that are having trouble contributing at the other end.
Joined by Ryan Rashok, talking all things NHL, and right now the Oilers on TSN 1260 on the Jason Greger Show. Shogger, you talk about the guys. Let's just talk about the bottom half of the lineup, whatever we want to call it, the third and fourth line.
Everybody else.
Yeah, well, yeah, other than those top guys. When I look at it, I feel like I'm dumbing it down, and much like the penalty kill, but simplify their game. What can you do well? Like, because the message isn't, I see a lot of people talking about they got to score, and I understand that. But you got to start with doing something positive before you get to goals, unless you're getting lucky goals. So what can be a simple role for you? And I don't know if McLeod's in this group, but, you know, for these guys, what can you do to help us out? And you start, and you got to build off the comms, because they look like they have, when I say they, Fogel, Yamo, Puljujärvi, they don't look to me like confident players right now. So how do you build confidence in them? I think Jay and company, that's what I'd be looking at with these guys.
Am I reading the stats right here that Ryan McLeod has 9 shots in 13 games? Am I reading that properly here right now? I'm just looking on the – I was looking over the roster as you were talking.
Yeah, like he's carried the puck a lot, but he's not – like he. Yeah,
that's stunning.
He carries the puck a lot. He hasn't really, done much, but – you know,
he's taken 9 shots and scored 3 goals. He's shooting 33% on 9 shots.
Yeah, but the Oilers' goal scoring isn't their issue right now, guys. For me, like they can't stop anything. Like they're second or third in the, like, their second best power play. They got the third most goals. I don't need Ryan McLeod to shoot more, to be honest.
Well,
like, yeah, it'd be nice.
They need
guys to stop on the penalty kill. Like Ryan McLeod, how about win a face off on the penalty kill? That would help. Get in the shooting lane, like Strutty said. You know, get some more gonads. Like they're not in the shooting lanes often enough. They're on the ice for way too many goals. Like, yeah, sure, I'd like Ryan McLeod to shoot the puck more, but 3 goals in 13 games is still 3 goals. He could have 10 more shots and not score a goal, and 3 goals in 13 games for your third line center, you're still okay with that.
Yeah, I was just shocked when I saw that stat. Here's where I'll disagree with you though, Gregs, on how those guys not contributing is not hurting the team. Here's how I think it is. You've got Puljujärvi with what, a goal? You got Fogel with none, then you got Yamamoto with none. Right? This is an important tier of your lineup. Basically just call it your third line, whatever, third line players. And they're not contributing anything. We've gotten back to that point where the top players are exasperated trying to carry the load here. Like, you watch and listen to Leon Draisaitl postgame last night. I mean, you look at him on the ice. Like, they have to produce a monumental amount of offense on any given night to get their team across the line, and it's wearing on them. And we're seeing it in some of their games. If they don't do it, there's a group of 4 or 5 of them, if they don't do it, it's not going to get done. And that weighs on them. And I know it's always been that way, but when Jay Woodcroft arrived last year, that's what changed. More guys were engaged. More guys helped carry the load. And we're seeing a top-end group that's looking exasperated, trying to come up with enough offense to help this team win games. They need help. If those guys chipped in a goal or two here or there every second or third game, like, you know, like between the 3 of them, you know, if you can get one every few games, like, my goodness. But it's just zeros, and it's not good enough. And the big guys need that help, or it shows. It wears on them.
Yeah, I'm more with Gregor. I've been saying this. I go back to the Nashville game. When I look at the way that the team has given up goals, you know, they're up 5-1, and that's where it started. Then they had a fight to keep that game open. But it's scoring, but it's about contributing to the general, and I'll go quotation zip, like bringing energy to the group. Can you tilt the ice so that the other guys can go in there and they don't have to work so hard to kind of get that going again? Or on the, like, because right now you look at it, Puljujärvi, Fogel and aren't on the penalty kill. I think Yamamoto is on it a little bit. So if you're on the power play, you're not really getting on the penalty kill. You got to bring something between the lines, like between that, to get it going.
I agree.
That can be physicality. So I think that, you know, if I'm the top guys, if I can have a shift or that, let's just call it what the third line was before with McLeod, Fogel on Puljujärvi. Just humor me. And that line goes out, and they tilt the ice for a shift. It's easier for the big guys. They go out there like, thank you. You just tilted the ice. Let's go and do that. And, you know, I really felt that, let's say, the last 20 games in the playoffs last year, there were shifts where that the other guys tilted that ice. We're not seeing that as much right now. And I know it's early, but that contributes. And I think that takes the pressure off the big guys because they don't have to go out there and tilt the ice.
Well, that's exactly my point. Like, they're looking at times just a little bit exasperated at all that they're having to do. But I agree with you. If it's not going in, you got to take care of the other things. Yamamoto's game has fallen off too far. He's not getting enough stuff done on the positive side of the ledger right now to warrant the goose egg and the continued ice time. So we're seeing that fall for him. Fogel, yes, he skates hard and looks like he's working really hard, but the mistakes are killing him. I mean, I still don't understand why. I mean, he just felt like he was let off the hook last night for that mistake he made. That was a terrible mistake. And yes, his teammates flew the zone, and yes, there wasn't support there for him, but my goodness, I mean, that was just an atrocious play with the puck. And so when you're making those sorts of mistakes and you're not generating anything on the other end and not helping get momentum going in the right direction, you're just draining the system, basically. And they got a few too many key guys that should be regular players that are draining the system more than they're contributing to it right now. And that's got to swing. That has to swing.
The other thing about their penalty kill, they need saves at the end of the day.
Like, 100%.
Their goalies were first and sixth in save percentage on the penalty kill the last 3 years. That's a pretty big sample size. Mike Smith first, Mikko Koskinen sixth in the NHL amongst any goalies in the league over a three-year span. So they were good. Obviously, the system in front of them helped, no question. But the goalies, you know, Mike Smith talked about it. Even Koskinen was like, hey, we know what the system does, so I know where to be at certain times. So I don't know if they're not trusting it or not. I'll have to ask Woodcroft when they come back if that's a factor. But, you know, the easiest thing would just say, hey, goalies, you got to make a few more saves for us.
I think it's fair. And I think Jay Woodcroft kind of alluded to it in his post game last night. He was asked about the penalty kill. The first thing he said is, I saw us give up 5 shots and 4 of them went in. Now, high quality chances, some of them. But still, I don't think that it's the core problem, but they haven't been the solution either. They haven't been getting, you know, great goaltending on the penalty kill, and quite often that goes right hand in hand. A team that's a, you know, great penalty killing team, they get great goaltending. And the Oilers haven't. Flat out, they haven't. Skinner's been beat with some clean. Campbell's been beat with a bunch clean. They're not necessarily coming up with the huge saves that penalty kills that are rolling get. And so it's a combination effort, man. The guys aren't doing the jobs and executing and taking care of the intangibles. Goalies aren't able to pick up the slack and go over and above. And so it's weighing on them. And now you're staring down the barrel of these dynamite offensive players in Tampa that, as you said to begin the segment, are just sort of licking their chops going, bring it on, man. You know, like, maybe start by bearing down and winning a face-off.
Yeah, anybody not named Drysdale, for sure, needs to win a face-off. So it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back. Shager, have yourself a good one.
Okay, guys, take care.